Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's show, Gavin Cullen joins us to look at the FAI Senior Cup draw and this weekend's Premier Division action. Martin McHugh previews the All-Ireland quarterfinals for Derry and Armagh, while Derry boss Martin Boyle talks to us ahead of the All-Ireland minor semi-final against Galway. Patsy McGonigal will look at this weekend's National Senior Track and Field Championships at Santry, and Carl Harvey tells us about this weekend's Sheephaven Half Triathlon. But it's with football we start, and in Friday's Premier Division action, Finn Harps host St Patrick's Athletic at Finn Park as they chase a third win of the campaign, while Derry City are off to Dublin to play bottomside UCD. In Tuesday's FAI Senior Cup draw, Harps were pipped with Bohemians. Derry City face non-league opposition in Oliver Bond's Celtic. Bunnaggy United go up against Pike Rovers, and Coghill Celtic will go to UCD. On this week's League of Ireland chat, I've been joined by Coghill manager and former Finn Harps captain Gavin Cullen.
So Gavin, it's good to talk to you again. Before we look at the fixtures this coming weekend for Harps and Derry City in particular, the cup draw was made this week, and your own club, Coghill Celtic, in the Senior Cup, Premier Division opposition, UCD in Dublin will be the venue for you guys towards the end of July in the opener of the cup, and you're going up against a good friend in William O'Connor. It's going to make for an interesting tie, Gavin.
It certainly is. I suppose watching the draw during the week, when UCD were pulled out, I sort of had the inevitable thought that it would have been ourselves, and then it happened. So, look, it's not ideal. It's not ideal for ourselves, not ideal for William. But, look, it's football at the end of the day, and he's to do his job, and we do our job. So, a lot of bit of interest to the game. But, again, we're playing a Premier Division opposition, which will be a tough task, especially out of season. The fact that it's away from home is disappointing, but look, that's what you get in the draws. You know, you have to take it as you get it.
Yeah, as Coghill, I'm trying to think back, has Coghill ever caused an upset in the Senior Cup? Have he ever won a game?
They beat Galway in the EA Sports away at Terryland. They haven't now. We've run close now. We lost 1-0 to Limerick and 2-1 to Limerick and 1-0 to Longford, and we've lost 4-3 away to Drogheda, when Drogheda had a decent side. You know, we've run teams close, but we would like to cause an upset, and we feel we can, you know. But again, it's the timing of the seasons, and the home or away draws are huge. Like if we had UCD at home in the middle of our season, and they were only starting theirs, you know, you would fancy your chances to give it an upset. But it's very difficult to see that at this stage of the year, you know.
Yeah, the other Ulster Senior League side in it were the league runners up, and the hat-trick men of the cup, Bunnaggy United. They'll be happy enough with their draw against non-league Pike Rovers.
Yeah, I'd say they'll be delighted. I think there's the way you look at these draws, you want a home winnable tie, or you want one of the big guys, you know, to create revenue, create a get, and give the players experience. So, look, I think Bunnaggy will be delighted with that draw, to be honest.
Yeah, what about Harps draw against Bowes? Will Ollie be happy with that?
I think he'll be happy that it's a home draw, and they don't have to travel, and they might make a few pounds because it's a big side. I think, obviously, it's a very difficult task to beat Bowes, but at the same time, you never know. I think if you even talk to Ollie, the cup will be well out of his head at this stage, and he'll probably take it the week it comes and deal with it. But the league is definitely a priority, so I don't think he'll be overly bothered either way with it.
Yeah, Oliver Bond Celtic's going to be the opposition as well for Derry City. We don't expect the Leinster Senior League side to cause Derry much problems in the opening round of the cup, Gavin.
I wouldn't have thought so. The fact that it's in the Brandywell and Derry are formidable in there, I would be very surprised if they give them much trouble at all.
Yeah. In addition to Harps, on the backroom side of things, confirmed this week that Kieran McDade, another in a showman, Gavin, is on board at Harps. What's your thoughts on that appointment this week?
Yeah, it's a great opportunity for Kieran. It's a big step up from underage coaching and possibly coaching on his own. But look, he's under no better man than Ollie to pick up good habits and a professional outlook and a professional attitude. So it's a great opportunity for him. Kieran, he was at college in Carlow. Done his degree in sports and stuff like that, and he's a keen interest in coaching and massive interest in football in general. So look, it's a great opportunity for him, and it'll be a big learning curve for him this season, you know.
Yeah, and it's good to have, I suppose, local men on board in the background at Harps. Another addition to the coaching staff of Ollie Horgan there, Gavin. But
it's brilliant when you get local people involved in management, coaching players to play at high levels, at the best levels they can. It's always great. When people move on, when people hold themselves back or be held back by clubs in general, it's frustrating for me, you know, and frustrating for other people. But, you know, that happens. So it's great to see. And it's great to see Kieran getting that opportunity as well.
Well, looking now at the fixtures this weekend, Gavin, in the Premier Division, Harps have a home tie. Didn't work out the way they wanted last week against Sligo Rovers. Can they get that third one of the year against Pats this weekend at home on Friday night? Is that achievable?
Look, it's always achievable. I'd say last week's result sort of knocked them for six because they went into a break after a very, very good performance in the Brandywell. Probably the best of the season, from what I've seen, anyway. And they probably got a wee lift from that, but then they went down in the first half against Sligo, was very poor. And I'd say that they're disappointed with that. And I know Ollie's been talking during the week about trying to get players in and stuff, and you could see that they was dejected after the result last weekend, which is understandable. So, look, this week's a huge week, as they all are. It looks like it's a two-way battle at this point between UCD and Harps for that playoff. And look, it only takes a couple of results to give a bit of breathing space, but at the same time, results aren't easy at the minute for Harps or UCD. It's a difficult one, but again, football's control up funny results times, you know.
Yeah, you mentioned Ollie about bringing players in, and he'll be able to do that now in the next number of weeks. And he always pulls out a surprise or two. And young Dylan Duncan, who spent some time at Tottenham, didn't do too bad last week when he came on against Sligo. And if maybe Ollie can get another few players like that, that maybe the fortunes might change for them.
Well, look, obviously that player Dylan Duncan has pedigree, and he looked decent in the second half when he did come on. But again, there's a bit of an period, a new league, he's a young player. Look, he's taking a gamble, and always, I suppose, has to take gambles on players at this point, because as he said in his interviews during the week, they have to try something. What they're doing is not working to what they want, so they really have to gamble and have to take a chance. Well, these guys can hit the ground running, or they could be there for the rest of the season and not be noticed. You know, we've seen it over the years. You just don't know. But that guy, Duncan, does look like he's a bit of pedigree and looks like he's a bit about him. So hopefully he does hit the ground running and gives them a wee bit of a lift.
Yeah. Harps will obviously be looking for Derry City to do them a favour on Friday night. Derry are going to be the visitors to the Bowl to go on UCD. And if Harps can get something and Derry do something to benefit the Ballybuffet club, all of a sudden the gap's got bigger there.
It is, and that's important. If UCD don't get the results and Harps get a result or two, it gives a bit of daylight. But again, the shoe's on the other foot. If Harps don't get a couple of results and UCD get one or two, it all changes the whole thing. It adds a lot of pressure if you're looking up from the bottom as well. Derry haven't won in 6 or 7, so again, that result becomes harder to get for Derry every week going by. You would expect them for them and on everything. I think in the Brandywell later on the season, they beat UCD 7. So again, but I think that form from Derry at that point and that form from UCD at that point has sort of flipped and changed. So I can't see that happening. But again, it'll be a tough one, but you would expect Derry to get the 3 points.
Yeah, is it a timely game for Derry then, because things haven't been going their way?
I think, look, difficult when you're not getting the results you sort of want. You sort of worried about games and you worry about things that earlier on the season were coming naturally and working out for them. So, look, they need to get that monkey off their back and get a result. And probably at this point in time, UCD is possibly on paper probably one of the weaker teams in the division, especially I think Colin Whelan's out with a cruciate, and Kerrigan looks like he's going to go. So that's two of their better players on the move or out. So you would expect Derry to beat them, but again, football can throw up these results.
Yeah. Big derby game at the Tallaght Stadium. We're expecting a feisty affair between Shamrock Rovers and Bohemians. Looking at the standings in the table, Rovers, of course, out in front on 42. Bohemians on 26. There's a bit of a gap there points-wise. There's a bit of a gap footballing-wise this year. But when it comes to a Dublin derby, anything can happen, Gavin.
It can, and look, that's the biggest of them. You know, that's the biggest rivalry in the country, and Bohs would love nothing more than they turn Rovers over in Tallaght. But again, Rovers need a win, because a bit of a surprise result last week in Dundalk, although Dundalk are motoring really well. But if Shamrock Rovers fail to win and Dundalk get another victory this week, at least it tightens things up at the top. But I would expect on form and on paper and the squad and depth that Rovers have, they possibly have too much for Bohs at the minute.
Yeah, Dundalk, you're expecting them to carry that form to Shelburne then too, are you?
I would do, yeah. They've went about the business brilliantly this year under Stephen and all. I know there's not a while much talk about them and the rebuilding and this, that and the other, but they're getting results and they're performing quite well. And then last week sort of catapulted them up to, you know, above Derry and pushing on that looked like the most likely challengers at this point. Yeah. Two Rovers.
And just finding that Sligo Rovers showing their intent to sign players this week by bringing in an Estonian international, Frank Levac. He's not allowed to play this weekend, but he will be available as from July. We're expecting maybe a couple of more into Sligo in the next number of weeks as well. What about their game away to Drogheda United?
Again, on the back of the result last week, it'll be a big boost for Sligo. They've been inconsistent this season. Obviously, the department manager and then John Russell getting the job will giving them maybe a new lease of life, and obviously with that signing and what they're bringing in, he's been given a bit of a war chest to look at players and bring them in. So you'd expect again Sligo to use the momentum of last week and maybe get another result this week, you know.
Okay, Gavin, as always, thanks for joining us. Talk to you soon.
Brilliant, listen. Thank you.
That's Gavin Cullen looking ahead to Friday's Premier Division action in the League of Ireland and his thoughts on this week's FAI Senior Cup draw as well. Just one other fixture of note soccer-wise this weekend. It's the Women's FAI Intermediate Cup semi-final. It's a huge day for the ladies of Bunnaggy United. They're making the trip down the country. It's a long trip south for them as they take on Douglas Hall. That game's on Sunday with a place in the final up for grabs there, and Bunnaggy very much in contention. Let's go to athletics now, and this weekend one of the main events on the calendar on the Irish scene takes place at the Morton Stadium in Santry. It's the National Senior Track and Field Championships, which are taking place in Dublin on both Saturday and Sunday. Now there's a host of Northwest athletes making the trip to the capital, hoping for good performances, for top three finishes and titles as well. We'll discuss those in just a few moments. I've been joined this week by our athletics correspondent Patsy McGonigal to look ahead to those championships. But first of all, we discussed the recent international inclusions of a number of Northwest athletes on major competitions which are coming up in the summer.
Well, Patsy, always good to talk to you. We'll look at the National Senior Track and Field Championships in just a moment. But there was a lot happening off the track this week. A number of athletes from the Northwest included on national teams. We'll start with the Commonwealth Games. A second Games for Summer Leckie in Birmingham this summer. But Eilish and Roisin Flanagan named on the Northern Ireland team for the Commonwealth for the first time. Three Finn Valley athletes, and they'll be hoping for good competitions.
Well, yes, I mean, it's obviously a major game in some ways, and to be selected is a big deal. So, yes, and the Flanagan girls, they're starting their season late. You know, they had problems back in the States. They're still in the States. They won't compete this weekend in the national championships. So, in fact, they're delaying their season. So, really, it's going to be a late season for them, and the Commonwealth Games will certainly fit into that perfectly. Obviously, Summer, her form has returned, and, you know, she's jumped 180, 183, in fact, and, she's on a progression to jump higher. So, she's got the national seniors this weekend, of course. So, you know, it's all positive for the three girls.
Yeah, and the Commonwealth Games held in Birmingham in England start the 28th of July. But before that, earlier in July, Patsy, there is, of course, the Ireland under 18 championships. Two Northwest competitors named on the Ireland team this week. Finn O'Neill of Lyffordstrabane, who's having a really good season, and Fintan Dewhurst of Tyrconnell, who will compete in the 400 metre hurdles.
Aye, that Dewhurst boy has really progressed extremely well. He's from Glenties. He goes to the school, local schools in Columbus there, the comprehensive school. And he's coached by Brian McGonigal, who's on the staff there at the LYIT, or now the ATU. So basically, he's improved dramatically. I like his progression, and you know, it's a great boost to him to get on that team for Jerusalem. And of course, Finn O'Neill with Lifford Strabane, he broke the Irish record under 18 in the decathlon across in England, and he's highly regarded. So two outstanding young athletes getting an opportunity in the European under 18 championships. Yes.
Yeah. Right, looking forward to this weekend, Patsy. Obviously, the National Senior Track and Field Championships is the main competition for quite a lot of the athletes. And there's a big Northwest contingent heading to the Morton Stadium in Santry this weekend. We'll sort of look at the medal hopefuls from the area who are going to Dublin. And we'll start in the short distances. Kelly McGrory, she's set to carry good form into the 400 meter hurdles. And Mark English, of course, will be looking for the 800 title.
Aye, absolutely. You know, Mark, he got a right good challenge in his hands. He's been running well. His results are good. He's in every way very positive going into the championships, and you know, to pick up, you know, hopefully another 800 meter title. But he's got a big opposition in a young fellow called Fitzsimons, who's running just marginally faster this year. So that's going to be interesting for Mark. And then we've got Kelly McGrory. She ran a lifetime best Donegal record in Belfast recently, 57 plus. So she is the national. She is the outgoing national champion. So, you know, let's see how that goes for her. I expect her to win it again, actually. And, you know, all is good with her. So that's something to keep an eye on over the weekend.
Yeah. Just one of the runners in the medal distance, Nikita Burke at 5,000. Can she finish top three this weekend?
Well, it depends on the quality of the field, to be honest. But there's no doubting that she has been consistent right through the season, both on the track and on the road. And she's been, you know, very consistent the last few years. And you never can write her off. And so, you know, let's see how it all pans out on the day. But she has the ability to medal. Yes, will she medal? It depends on the quality of the field.
On to the field events. First of all, the jumps. Conal Mahon, as we know, is the defending triple jump champion. He'll be looking to make it back to back. And if Summer Leckie can find a bit of form, Patsy, she's going to be up there at the top.
She is, and she's got you know, she's a form athlete. You know, in the sense that she's jumped highest this year. But there are a couple of very good girls, and you know, she'll be very anxious to get the title because she did not do well in the indoor championships. She was so disappointed after the indoors. She didn't even get a medal, and that's so unlike her. She wasn't going well in the winter, but she is going extremely well. She picked it up. She's on the ball, and her selection for the Commonwealth will have boosted her. So she's going in with high hopes to win the title once again. She has two or three titles to her credit over the years. She's a young athlete who has flown the flag for Donegal Athletics and Finn Valley so well over the last few years. So yes, I actually expect her to win the high jump. So let's see how it pans out. Conal Mahon, of course. Well, Conal Mahon won the triple jump last year, you know, and again, he's jumping well. And I think actually that he can retain the title. One of the questions always around him is, can he break the Donegal record? He was just a couple of centimetres short of it last year. And you would just love to see him hit the mark, get the record. That record has stood so long to Neil Sweeney from Dunlow, you know, and that would be yet another record, a new record on the books. So we wish him well, the Tyrconnell athlete.
And moving on to the throw events, Patsy, there's actually about six athletes here from the Northwest that are very much in contention to win medals. John and James Kelly in the shot, Gareth Crawford in the javelin. We've also got Brendan O'Donnell in the hammer, and not forgetting about two ladies who are also looking for big performances in Aideen Gallen and Bridget McDyer.
Absolutely, and let's go. The key, I just looked at their entries just before we come on and the current state of affairs, and I kind of fancy Aideen Gallen to take the hammer. You know, she was beaten by the girl from Bandon last year, but that girl is not on the start list this time. So if that if that stays the way it is, I expect Adrian to, you know, to take the Hammer title, and that would be brilliant. That would be absolutely brilliant. She's thrown 49 plus at the moment. If she gets over 50, that'd be a plus as well. So Adrian is the best bet, in my opinion, of those that you've named for a title. The rest of them, well, Gareth Crawford, yes, he can get a medal. He's thrown 63, 64 metres at the moment. Brendan O'Donnell, he can get a medal, but there is a fella called Sean Mockler, who's in the States, who's thrown a lot better than Brendan, but Brendan certainly can get a medal. And then there's the two Kelly boys, of course. You mentioned them, John and James. John and James both can medal, but I fancy a fellow called Eric Favors possibly in the Hammer. But don't rule out John, because he has thrown 19 plus big time, and you know, Favors just may or may not get it on the day. But Favors has a 20.02 to his credit this year. John is at 19.57, and James is in good form as well. And then there's Bridget McDyer from down by the Ross's direction, Peach out of Finn Valley. She's going for the 56 for distance, or the 28 for distance, the weight for distance, that is. And, you know, the Donegal record, a medal, yes, that would be a big, that would be a lovely story to be able to bring back over the weekend onto the radio at Highland Radio. So let's see what happens.
Yep. Finally, Patsy, up and coming athletes to keep an eye out for, because there's a few first timers that'll be hoping to do well.
Well, there is, and there's a couple of development athletes that are running well. There's three in my head here right now. There's four, actually. Sean McGinley's going to have a rattle at the 800 metres. He's just going to have a blowout in the heats. Then there's Fintan Dewhurst, who we mentioned earlier, 400-metre hurdles. Great to get him into a really competitive senior race. And his case, just try to kick in a PB time. And there's Lucy McGlynn from Tyrconnell. She's Ballyshannon girl. She's going 400-metre hurdles. She ran well in Belfast over that distance last weekend. And there's Oisin Gallen, who won the Ulster 5,000 metres last weekend, and has been so close to the 4-minute mark for the mile over in the States. He's back home now in Balbuffet, and he's entered in the 1,500 metres. So there's plenty to keep an eye on. So really and truly, Oisin, it'll be important that I get the story out there on Saturday and indeed Sunday, and update everybody as they go through the heats and a particular final. So it's going to be, on paper, it should be a good weekend for Donegal Athletics.
Yeah, just finally then, Patsy, when saying that, it's probably one of the stronger Donegal contingents that's gone then to national championships, is it?
Well, it is. You know, we're missing two Flanagan girls. We're missing Molly Gibbon. They're back in the States. They haven't travelled yet, and they haven't come into Europe yet. So that was three others that we could add to the list. But look, if all of those had medals, of those that we, you know, highlighted, we would be pretty happy. It'd be one of the better days, absolutely one of the better days. And, you know, when you go back over the years, as long as I can go back, you know, there were years when it was quiet enough and there was no big hullabaloo. So I expect to be getting excited over the weekend, hopefully.
All right, Patsy, thanks for joining us. Enjoy the weekend.
All the best, Oisin.
So now in the score, we're moving on to Gaelic Games. Derry and Armagh fly the flag for Ulster in the quarterfinals of the All-Irelands this weekend. Ulster champions Derry start proceedings at Croke Park against Clare, with Dublin and Cork the second game on Saturday. Armagh go up against Connacht Kingspin's Galway, with the last encounter being the intriguing meeting of Kerry and Mayo. I've been looking at the quarterfinals of the All-Ireland series with Highlands match analyst Martin McHugh. So, Martin, looking forward to the quarterfinals this weekend of the All-Ireland series. Up first, Derry against Clare. When the draw was made, I'm sure everybody involved in Derry GA were quite happy how that panned out.
Yeah, there would have been, suppose, all right. It'd be the draw. Maybe people say that most counties want it to draw would have been Clare. But then, on the other hand, Clare would be very happy to have got Derry. So, I mean, when you analyse like that, it's a long time since Derry played in Croke Park in the All-Ireland series. And I think Clare will definitely, talking to people even last weekend, Clare fancy their chances. But you'd expect, you know, the way Derry performed in the league and everything else, and especially against Clare down in the league, they had an easy enough victory over Clare in the league down in Clare. And they won easily enough on the league final last year, beating a good enough Offaly team in the league final last year in Croke Park. So you'd expect them to be well used to it. And it's probably a great game for Derry to get if they get over the line, the fact that they have had a game in Croke Park before they go there for the All-Ireland semi-final, if they're lucky enough to be victors.
Yeah, listen, Croke Park's not going to faze them, because the Ulster final didn't faze them. So didn't, Martin, and you expect something similar at the weekend from them?
Yeah, exactly. They're you know, they're Funny thing about them is that when you analyse them with club and underage, they've been successful and winners, and that makes a big difference. And it's hard to beat knowing how to win, knowing how to get over the line and how to achieve it. And so what's the big thing came out of the Ulster final, that everybody was saying, what's going to happen this Derry team if they go behind? But when they went behind, they didn't panic. And the one thing about them is they were the one team that was looking to win the game in normal time when they pushed very high up on the Donegal kick out when the sides were level, so, and they took the goalkeeper out the field and everything else. So I think from that point of view, and you know, the other thing about them, actually, they have leaders on the field. Conor Glass, you know, a big leader around the middle of the field. I was at a match there one time and I just was watching him at the match, and he waited for the goalkeeper to come off the field at the end of the, at the half time, and he walked off with the goalkeeper, which is a great sign. Probably, you know, the experience of being involved in, you know, and team sports in Australia and everything else, professional sport, he sees how important different thing is. You know, Gareth McInnes has really come of age this year. Shane McGuigan is a different player this year. He's taken his club form to the county this year, maybe what he didn't do in the past, you know. And, you know, we know, no point talking about the full back line, especially Brendan Rodgers is having a season of his life. And I don't think Derry will take Brendan Rodgers out the field this Sunday. I say they'll try to, or Saturday, sorry. I think they'll try to keep him on the edge of the square and see how they can test him in there.
Yeah, we're not expecting any different from Derry, are we, Martin? It's just sort of the same style of play and the same way Derry have sort of come through the championship. We're expecting more of the same this weekend. There's nothing there that's going to surprise us. And then the other side of it is, people talked about how will they manage Croke Park as in the big wide open spaces of Croke Park.
See, suppose the big thing, we look at it, I guess, here, and you feel people say they'll not change their game plan. I think you're going to have to change it now for Croke Park. It's different. Even though people tell you Clonus is the biggest pitch as Croke Park, and people tell you other pitches are, but they don't play as big. Croke Park plays very big because of the stand and the crowd and everything else, well away from the pitch. So it makes the pitch play bigger, and that's why you see, you know, the way it works out in Croke Park. So, yeah, Chrissy McCagill, man mark, probably Sexton, given the job, probably doing that. That's what they'll do, and they'll have Rodgers hoping to give him a free enough role if they can. On some player comes out the field, they'll push him out the field with him if that happens. So the way Derry play, we all know how they play. They'll single out certain players to mark. They'll probably let the what they feel is the weakest players in the opposition have possession of the ball as much as they can and try to stop the what they would call the better players having the ball. That's really what they do. But if we go back to, suppose, Donegal, you know, at the start of the last decade, where Donegal 2011 went to Croke Park and made a decision against Dublin, where they were going to defend, and people say, well, if they'd push on. But if you're talking to the management, they would say maybe if Donegal had to get the goal when they had the goal chance, that they might have won the game that day. Maybe some part, you know, Jim or Rory would say that, and Rory was part of that management setup. Then 2012, when they got out of Ulster again, maybe playing the same way, they opened up completely differently when they went to Dublin. Now, people could say, Oisín, there was the teams they were playing against that did that, the Kerrys and the Corks and the Mayos, that they wanted to press on. And they didn't really know how to play against this football. So it was really a bit like Donegal in 2014, where Dublin didn't know how to play against it. And Donegal still maybe played the same way, but they were breaking the same way as Derry did against Monaghan and Tyrone in the first two games. So the question is, will Clare do what Donegal done and mirror them? Or will Clare go at them in Croke Park? That's probably the big question, and we'll not know until Saturday.
Yep, we're into the All-Ireland series. Are Derry good enough to go all the way, Martin?
Good enough to go all the way? I don't think so. I think Dublin and Kerry are still, you'd have to be favourites. You feel them two teams are ahead of the rest. Now, the fact that they're meeting in the semi-final, you're saying to the likes of Galway, Derry, Armagh and Clare that they have only one of the big teams to beat to win the All-Ireland, and that's a big bonus for them. That sometimes you would end up other years having to beat the two of them when you've only one of them to beat. Suppose they feel Derry, they got the hard draws and Ulster, now they're getting an easier draw when they get out and everything else. But I feel that, yeah, Derry, can they go all the way? Yeah, they'll feel themselves they can. The system of play they play, it'll be too hard to play against, and they really have it, and they're very, very fit, and they have a lot of good footballers on the field and everything else. I just don't know whether the forward line or the goalkeeper good enough to go the full hog to win it. But they're well capable of beating Clare and beating Armagh or Galway. It'll still be coming close enough to a 50-50 game between Armagh and Galway, whoever wins that match for Derry. So yeah, big chance for Derry. I mean, it was one of them years. People said different things last year. Maybe Tyrone, you know, got the luck of the draw and got everything else with COVID and all this stuff and everything else, but they won the All-Ireland. So Derry will feel, and Armagh will fancy their chances this year.
That was my next question. Is going to be, are Armagh good enough to make an All-Ireland final, Martin?
Yeah, well, you feel that I'm excited to see them in Croke Park because I always thought when I saw them, I know against Dublin in the first league game when Dublin weren't ready and prepared and everything else, they were very exciting and they do love to kick the ball. And I think you have to kick the ball in Croke Park because the likes of Kilcoo, even a club, struggled in Croke Park because they didn't kick the ball. You've got to kick the ball in Croke Park and Derry are going to have to kick the ball in Croke Park. But Armagh are natural kickers of the ball and actually Croke Park will suit Armagh. So that's the one thing. Yeah, they're definitely good enough to go to an All-Ireland final. And I'll tell you, Dublin or Kerry, I would say of the three, of the Derry, Galway and Armagh, with no disrespect to Clare, I would say the team that they would, of them three teams that they would least like to meet is Armagh, Dublin or Kerry, because they know that Armagh can physically match them for footballers and everything else, and will take a big battle with high energy to them in Croke Park. I'd say they'd rather meet Derry or Galway than meet Armagh in the All-Ireland final, whatever one would come through from the Dublin Kerry, or maybe Mayo will put a spanner and that works.
Yeah, will Galway be quite happy maybe about everybody tipping Armagh, given the fact that they beat Dublin and won in Croke Park already this year?
Yeah. Galway, see, the Armagh-Galway game is a hard game to call. Very hard to call. It's a tip, toss of a coin. It's two very good forward lines, you feel, particularly. You know, this Galway, if Comer and Walsh, if they hit the form that they're capable of hitting, and Armagh have, you know, an Aidan Faulkner, they're probably a good enough marker and that there, but Comer's going to add someone different than, we'll say, Michael Murphy added, you know, the last day to him. So it's a different type, you know, he's, you know, probably in the way where Michael Murphy played a lot of his football out the field. Comer might play closer to goals and try to put him under pressure closer to goals, and he's very aggressive. So it's going to be different type of football. And suppose Ethan Rafferty, you know, we look at the first game against Donegal, how poor he was, the kickers and everything else. The last day he was very, very good. So definitely coming on and that there, and he'll come out the field. But Galway will fancy themselves. They'll fancy it. Well, when you've got players of the quality of Galway have, but are the Galway defence good enough to hold their Armagh attack? Like Rian O'Neill could have a field day against them because they really have nobody to mark him, of that quality to mark him, particularly I think if he stays inside.
Okay, just back to Saturday then. You don't expect Cork to cause Dublin any problems, do you?
No, I don't think so. I think Cork will have to, I'd say they'll go very defensive and they'll try to stay in the game as long as possible, but it's very, very hard to see. You know, one thing we would say in the past, that Cork would come with an energy, a buzz and a lot of quality players, but the Cork team, you know, I think they're just getting there, and in fairness to them, they are getting there and they're still in the championship and everything else, but I can't see it. I see that hopefully they put it up to them for a half, an hour, 15 minutes, but I expect Dublin to win it and they end up maybe 5-6 points at least.
Yeah, and the last of the quarterfinals, 4 o'clock on Sunday, Kerry taking on Mayo. You can never rule Mayo out of Croke Park, Martin.
That's right, Oisín. That's a very good point. I think you're exactly right. A Mayo team, we just don't know. There are times before we thought Mayo were gone, we thought they were, and they turn up with a big performance. And, you know, that's why, and Kerry haven't been tested. The provincial championships, people talk about doing away with the provincial championship. They say, well, the only good one is Ulster. Maybe that's the reason why Tyrone won the All-Ireland last year, because they came through a big provincial championship, a tough provincial championship in Ulster. They came through, it doesn't matter who you've beaten, Ulster is tough. Where Kerry don't know where they're at. I know they were mad looking for challenge games and everything else after the Munster final because they feel they're not tested. So they're coming in untested. I know David Clifford's back and everything else, but untested, Oisín, and they're coming in untested against a Mayo team that this is it. I mean, this is it. Like you're saying to them and dressing them, it's all over for the management team, it's all over the players if we lose this game today. So that's a big incentive for this team. And, you know, is there one big game in them, another big game in this Mayo bunch of players? I wouldn't rule it out. I still think Kerry will probably get over the line. I expect Kerry to have enough to get over the line and everything else, but I will not rule out a shock in that game.
Okay, just finally, it's a big day on Saturday for Derry. We can't forget about their minors who are also playing at Parnell Park against Galway. Hopefully it won't go to extra time, Martin, because if it does, it means the supporters and the minors could miss a bit of the start of the senior game against Clare in the All-Ireland quarter-final. But for Derry, having two teams in Dublin in the one day at this stage of the championship is huge.
Yeah, it's massive, and you know, it's great credit to the minor team. And I think the stats told me that the four beaten provincial finalists, the four beaten, won the next day out. So the four winners, I think, are out of the competition. It's an unbelievable stat to see that there. So it just shows you there weren't much between the teams. And it's a great achievement. The Derry Miners have lost their captain. You know, lost their captain very, very early, and young McNichol, who I think it's a cruciate ligament, you know, and he was the best player they had. So to achieve what they achieved, get there, and hopefully they'll win again. And, you know, definitely Ulster football is on the up. And as you said, hope it doesn't go to extra time. And they'll have the big support. Galway will have no support probably there because Galway's going to come up on Sunday. They'll have the big support and everything else. So that's an advantage. But a Galway minor team is always dangerous. The further on Galway go in a competition, no more than the senior team, always dangerous. They play with this confidence and everything else, so they're dangerous. But I still feel that I still think that Derry Miners will be good enough. I think it could be. I'll expect a Derry double on Saturday.
Okay, Martin, thanks for joining us. Hope you're right.
Thanks, Oisín.
Martin McHugh there, just mentioning that the Miners, of course, who gets things underway for the red and white county as they descend on Dublin on Saturday. That Miner game against Galway throws in early on Saturday at 1 o'clock at Parnell Park. Derry, of course, are looking to make it to their third final in the last 6 years. They won it in 2020 under Martin Boyle, and he's remained in charge since. Speaking with Michael McMullen, he feels the defeat to Tyrone in the Ulster final proved to be a valuable lesson for his side as they went on to beat Munster champions Cork in the quarter-finals. Martin hopes the plan and the matchups will be right for this weekend.
We always talk about the few cloudy days that you have just before you decide on matchups and the opposition strengths and where you think you can try and hurt them. And, you know, you can watch games and you can talk among ourselves, but you do have a few cloudy days where you're debating matchups, and then, you know what I mean, by the beginning of the week we'll get clarity on that there, and we'll move forward and back ourselves at that stage on what way we're going to play and the matchups we're going to go with.
You saw Galway, you've had probably more time to think about it since I was last talking to you. No easy task, by the sounds of it, and by looking at their scoring stats.
Yeah, really. No, they're a good side. They're a good side. And, you know, they play with serious energy and in many ways abandonment when they attack. You know, they can hurt you from all over, so they can. Their full back line can get up with it and hurt you. Their defence is really, really good. Going forward, a lot of good ball players, and then you add on a lot of tricky forwards, Aina Monaghan and Colin Costello, boys they got there, really, really good in the front foot. So they will present a massive problem for us, but at the end of the day, you're in the last four of All Ireland, so, you know, you're going to get that there.
People on the outside maybe saw the Cork result as a bit of a surprise, because they automatically think if you lose a provincial final, it's the end of the world. But the boys bounced back, and like after 10 minutes, it was comfortable. Some turnaround.
Aye, definitely. As I said to you previously, along the line it wasn't as comfortable as it probably looked watching the game back. But listen, we did take a lot of positives from the Ulster final and how we played and the character that we showed in the second half. And, you know, Shea Burt hit in the post, Conall Higgins the one that was deflected off the line, their late goal. Fine margins, and at the end of the day, obviously the result is the most important thing, but we knew there was fine margins and there isn't a kick of a ball between us and Tyrone. We knew that there. We knew Tyrone were a serious team. They hurt us badly in the first half, and we talked about that, and we knew that our attitude wasn't right and our mentality wasn't right, and the boys fixed that, and they went in, you know, with a much more steely determination last weekend, and it transpired in a very, very controlled, disciplined performance.
And off the pitch, a bit of frustration. These aren't in Croke Park and the triple header, but I suppose the hard thing this week is you just have to park that and make sure it's not a distraction, because it could be.
Listen, we've been down this road because last year, when you're winning an All-Ireland or an Ulster title and an All-Ireland semi-final, you're telling the boys you were going to play in Croke Park, and that never materialised. So that was parked very quick, and it's absolutely no difference here now, you know what I mean? That's been parked. To be honest, we had hoped that it would be Croke Park, but we knew it was probably a long shot. So already we were prepared that wherever it was going to be, it was going to be, you know?
And by the way they played against Cork, you know, if they show up with that same level of attitude, that's what you're crying out for this week.
Well, that's the key, and that's just a training this morning. We've chatted about that there, that they've got the jag in terms of how important mentality is and your attitude to your performance. And they admitted they were off it against Tyrone at stages. And so they've learned that lesson, and they've seen with a proper mentality and the right mentality how it can transfer and transmit into a much improved performance. So here's hoping, but I suppose they're 16, 17 years of age. You have to guide them as much as possible. But here's hoping that'll, with having they'll heed that warning and they won't be going soft mentally this week now.
And finally, six Ulster finals in 8 years, three All Ireland finals in 6 years would be a nice statistic to have.
Aye.
In Parnell Park next Saturday.
It'll be incredible. You know what I mean. You sort of have to stop yourself from...
Because it wasn't always like that.
No, it wasn't always like that, but you sort of have to stop yourself thinking from realising that we are only 60 minutes from an All-Ireland final, which is just incredible. It seems so long ago since out here in the 10th minute of the game against Donegal when we lost our captain and Ryan McNichol, and you just sort of question where could we go. But it has been the attitude of the boys and their commitment to each other and obviously their performance levels that they've just... We're just... Hey, it's every game... It might sound like a cliche, it might sound boring, but it's every game... play the game that's in front of us, and we go from there and we see where it takes us. You know, but it is exciting at this stage. You know, you are 60 minutes from an All-Ireland final, and as you say, it hasn't always been like this here, probably for a county the size of Derry. It's good, but it's only good if it happens, you know.
That's Derry Minor manager Martin Boyle speaking to Michael McMullen ahead of their All-Ireland semi-final this coming weekend. There is, of course, club action across Donegal this weekend over the 3 days, Friday, Saturday and Sunday. In Division 1 of the All-County League, Bundoran are playing St Michael's in a Friday evening fixture. The championship continues for the Hurlers. Satanta play McCool's, Buncrana take on St Eunan's, Burt meet Dunloe, and Cairn Donegal to play Aru Ballyshannon. That's in the senior championship. Two games on Friday evening at junior level. Burt will play Letterkenny Gaels and St Eunan's take on Fourmasters. Action continues on Saturday on the football front in Division 1 in All County League. It's Clonhilly against Ardran, St Eunan's play Gwydor. While in Division 2, Mavilla up against Buncrana, Neve Columba take on Convoy, and Mallon meets St Noll's. While in Division 4, it's Neve Conor Glentys against Dunloe. And then on Sunday, two further games in Division 1 of the All County League. Glenfinn will play host to St Michael's, and Glenswilly will travel to Neve Conor. In Division 2, there's four matches. McCool's play Fourmasters. Milford host Letterkenny Gaels. Downing's on the road to Red Hughes. And Fanna Gaels are on the road as they go to Dunloe. While in Division 3, it's Bird against Neamora Lower Rosses and St Eunan's take on Urris. Those are the games to be played at club level in Donegal this weekend. And as a mark of respect to Damien Casey, the Tyrone CCC have postponed all games in the county this weekend. The senior and reserve All-County League matches on Friday and Saturday, and the under 17 and 19 games on Sunday will now not take place this weekend and will be rescheduled with a double round of fixtures later in the summer. The 29-year-old, who was regarded as the greatest hurler Tyrone has ever produced, died in a swimming pool accident in Spain last week. Damien's funeral will take place in Dungannon on Sunday. The Sheephaven Half Triathlon, sponsored by the Downings Bay Hotel, returns to the Downings area this coming Saturday. Organised by the Letterkenny 24/7 Triathlon Club, the event will see over 250 triathletes from all over Ireland compete in a 1.9-kilometre swim, a 90-kilometre cycle, and then to top it off, there's a 12-mile run. To look at that event and look forward to what will be a challenge for those competing and indeed for those organising is the chairman of the Letterkenny 24/7 Triathlon Club, Carl Harvey. So, Carl, it's good to have you in studio once again, Carl. And I suppose the last time you were here was to give us details of the try. This is a different animal altogether, Carl. It's part of the national series. It's a big weekend for the 27/4 club.
This is a big deal. The last time we spoke, it was for beginners. It was an entry point. This is the cream of the cream. They'll be flying in from the UK. They'll be coming from all across the country. It's a half Ironman distance event taking place in Downings this Saturday. And it has 250 competitors. If the rally last weekend was on maybe four wheels, this is likely to be the same on two. The distance, for those who aren't familiar with it, maybe, there's a 2-kilometre swim, which takes place from just behind the Rossapenna Hotel at 7:30, kicking off. It's two loops, which is unusual. It's what they call an Australian format. They'll do the first loop, they'll run across the beach and back into swim again. So even to watch, it'll be quite different for those who've seen it before. From there, it's on to the bike. It's 90 kilometres of a cycle, which will take in Atlantic Drive, things like Knockalla, the Harry Blaney Bridge, for example. And then back to Downey's GAA and finish off with a kind of half marathon cool down.
So there's a lot ahead for those that are taking part in this card. So there is, but it is spectator friendly. Before we go maybe right into the depth of the actual course and stuff, it is spectator friendly as well. There's parts of it that people can see what's going on here.
Yeah, hugely so. Because of the ground that it covers and some of the spots that it covers, it's actually quite accessible to those who are maybe familiar with it, that have seen this kind of thing before, maybe apart from the swim. But to those who aren't, the run is, for example, up through the main street in Downings. The cycle takes in any of the spots we've mentioned. It's quite easy to get in and get out of. You can see it in different places. We will see the guts of 1,000 people coming from different parts to actually just watch this, and they're just directly related to the competitors. What I would say is that anybody who isn't playing golf on Saturday morning, come down if you're curious. You'll be in and out in 5 minutes, and it really is a top-class day of action now.
Yeah, and it is a tight event. There's no doubt about that. You mentioned about the rally and the four-wheels going up and down Ocala. These boys on the bike are going up and down hills, and then particularly the last part, which is the half marathon. It's not too kind to them either, is it?
No, and at that stage you've been on the road for a good number of hours. It'll go up as far as the end of the pier. It'll take in the main street. It'll go up to the end of the Isle of Roy for that matter as well. The weather plays a part. You have all these things to factor in. But I suppose for the top competitors, they'll be going at a real high speed. But for 90% of the field, this is a real heavy undertaking. This is 6 months of training, 12 months of training. And it all comes down to a wee bit of luck on the day as well. But if you've any interest in watching maybe Honest Expressions, take in the second half of the loop, or the second loop for the run, and you'll see what effort it takes, and you'll see what it takes to get it done, maybe for most of the competitors.
Yeah. How important was it for the club to have this part of the national series?
Well, it's a big achievement. Yeah. And I'm always conscious that when we say these things, they sound like they might just happen. We're 200 kilometres from Dublin. Triathlon is the fastest growing sport in the country. So to have that kind of recognition up here is tribute to the likes of Liam Tinney and the committee who organised the race, Aidan Callan before. They run good races. We've run good races in Triathlon Ireland. Putting that kind of faith in us is recognition of that. It attracts people towards by far the most scenic race in the country. You know, the spectacular headland. You go around Atlantic Drive or you run around a park in the Midlands. There's just no comparison. So it's a big boost for the club. It helps, I suppose, to promote the club, the event for next year as well.
I know that you've competed in triathlon events and half Ironmans and different things that got carried, but you're not competing this weekend. You mentioned weather, which is going to play a key role. Not so much the rain, because a lot of them don't mind the rain. It's more so the wind than anything else. And if it's coming in and off Downing's Bay, it's going to have a big bearing on how it's going to pan out.
Well, just so I don't get slagged by the club members, my level of competitive achievement is fairly minuscule now. I got sunburnt doing Sheephaven half 1 year. The wind is a big factor, and particularly when you take in not just the climbs and that kind of stuff, but even the equipment, you know, these deep dish wheels, which a gust of wind will kind of jaunt people left and right, that becomes a big factor. Rain will be what it'll be. And I think those who get as far as the run will welcome a wee bit of rain. It'll keep them cool. It's a bit more tempered that way. The last three or four runnings of this has been just excruciating in the heat. Great for photographs, but not much use for running. Yeah. But it looks not too bad for Saturday.
Yeah, there's a huge team behind. Obviously, Liam Tinney's race director, and he's done a fantastic job and bringing it to where it is now. But there's a massive team behind him here organising all this, because it's not straightforward planning now, Kerr.
No, and given there are three different disciplines, that has to be factored in. I mean, the likes of Sheephaven Subac will look after the water side of it. But even people like Adrian Wasson, who was in the rally last weekend, he's the kind of chief safety officer. And it just takes a lot of watching. But you also then have, we might have 25 people in the club who'll do the race. We'll have 65 members out there giving up their Saturday morning. We have volunteers from Milford Athletic Club, Downing's GA, for example, the Fanu Community Group. And they're all good to give us their time. But it doesn't happen without them. And people might think that standing at, you know, McAdoo's corner with a flag might not be a big contribution. It's a huge contribution, and it's what caused the thing to work.
Yeah. Just finally then, there is obviously going to be restrictions. They're away early at about 7 o'clock, half 7 in the morning.
Yeah.
And there is going to be some restrictions in and around the Downings area, in particular when they leave for the different loops.
Yeah, so no road closures. And we're lucky to work with the guards, and they've been good to us in how we've kind of mapped this out. No road closures, one-way systems in a couple of spots. But apart from that, people who are in the area, and again, they've been very good to us and patient with us, there won't be that level of disruption they might have felt at other times. So we're lucky like that. And maybe just in talking about the Downings community, both business-wise in terms of sponsors, but also the people themselves. They come out in huge numbers. Every year, there are tables set up with water, with jellies, with good wishes, with signs, and it really adds the atmosphere, and it's a credit to them.
Okay, so everybody looking forward to it then, Kerr?
Very excited.
Very excited.
Very excited.
We wish you and Liam and the rest of the club all the best with the Sheephaven half. Hopefully it's a great success for you, because you want the National Series back, don't you?
Indeed,
you want,
we
you
do.
You want this to be a regular thing?
We want people to know where Donegal is for many reasons.
Okay, thanks for coming on the studio, Kerr.
Thanks, Neil Oshin.
That's Kerr Harvey with all the details on that Sheephaven half triathlon sponsored by the Downings Bay Hotel this weekend. Finally, we go to cricket. There is games taking place in the Northwest on Saturday in the 40-over leagues in Group A. It's Fox Lodge against St Johnstone. Ardmore play Bonds Glen. Brigade take on Brady, and Glendermot play host to Strabane. While in Group B, New Buildings will take on Eglinton. Ballyspallan face Coleraine, and Killiecluny are up against Dunamana. And that is it from The Score for tonight. I hope you enjoyed the programme. If you missed any of the show, you will of course be able to recap in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. That's all the sport here in Highland for this Thursday. Chris Ashmore is back tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news with our next bulletin. So until then, from me, Oisin Kelly, have a very good evening.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Find everything you need to kick off your fitness journey at michaelmurphysports.ie.